B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
The ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Kiss my ass twice.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, where you at?
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm starting this off. The Rams get down, so nobody scoffs. And don't you worry, cause the Rams are rapping. When game time comes, we'll be back to die. We can't sing, and our dance is not pretty, but we'll do our best for the team and the city. So get on your feet and clap your hands. Let's ram it right now with the LA Rams.
Hollywood handsome, Dodge City tough. If you throw it my way, it's gonna get rough. I like to ram it, as you can see. Nobody likes ramming any more than me.
They call me Jeter, nobody dresses sweeter. But under this cool is a quarterback mistreater. I come from the end, looking for the sack. I don't stop coming till I put them on the back. This is limousine with it, my moves are like dreams. They call me the demon on special teams. I know how to rock from the toes to the head. When I pull the trigger, I'll knock you dead.
I'm a mountain man from West VA. They call me Herc, and I came to play. I learned long ago to ram it just right. You can ram it all day and ram it all night.
Look at my stock. I catch what they throw me and I like to block. I'm quick off the line as I can be, cause I don't want Dick running over me.
This is Babyface and I don't yield. I'm a tackling fool on the football field. From the Jersey Shore to Balboa Bay, if you run at me, you'll have a bad day.
This is RB, no Speedball Brown. Fastest man in the whole damn town. Cars and ladies are a part of my creed, but more than that, I feel the need for speed.
This is Catcher, out to make a run. With shades on, I can catch a BB in the dark. So now you're ready and I'm sure you'll agree that ramming is fun when you're ramming with me.
Here, I'm a pumping-eyed man. If Eric can't get it, I will and I can. I'm strong as you come, but I've got a brain. And stopping me is like stopping the train.
I'm Carlene, the general of the D. I make the calls, I'm the coaching LB. This motorcycle, he's got style and class. If you come my way, I'll knock you on your ass.
Today's the name's intimidated. The pass it my way, I'll see you later. Quick on my feet, the ladies agree. Before they know it, they'll ram it with me.
Yes, man, come up. Leroy is the name. I cover the court, interception's my game. Score more than anybody else on the D, cause I move like a cat, as you will see.
The guys call me Dick instead of Dick the Son. I lead the range on the Rams' top gun. They say I'm as smooth as a runner can be. Even sweetness and the others are talking about me. I like to dance and have a lot of fun. When it comes to ladies, you want a brainy one. But enough about me, we'll hit a ram it, you see. If you ram it just right, you can ram it all night.
Ram it.
Heard a 5 minutes of this.
That was the what was that, the 12 inch?
That was the extended cut. That was for the clubs. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. It's our second night on Radio Row, or second morning, I should say, on Radio Row. This hour of our show is brought to you by AdCare, 1-800-ALCOHOL.
That Ramit song is, I mean, after what hell hath the Super Bowl shuffle wrought? Because after that, every team wanted their own Super Bowl shuffle. But Ram It might be one of the best because it's just these dudes just grinding.
Oh, there's a big sexual undertone to it.
Oh, sure.
There's like, no question about it.
There's this one dude with like a mustache. He comes straight out of like a Malibu Express houseboat.
He's a Cody Abilene.
Yeah, he looks a lot like Cody Abilene. He's got mysteries to solve. And he's just like, I'll ram it all day and I'll ram it all night. And it's like, his waist is just slowly gyrating.
There's no mystery there. So they're not talking about rams as in the powerful animal. They're talking about humping.
not as a too much of a spoiler, but tomorrow we'll play my interview that I did with Matthew Slater. The very first voice that you hear as far as a solo rap is none other than his father, Mr. Big Bad Jackie Slater. First of all, shockingly, sounds nothing like Matthew Slater.
Yeah.
Like, I mean...
deep baritone.
He talks like this, I'm a big bad man. And then you got Slater, and then his son...
Hey, give it up to Dad, this is fun. So, now it's time to do some express.
But Matthew Slater, you know, I brought it up, and he just started laughing. I'm like, your father was the star of a music video back in 86, and he just went... ram it. And he said that like he loves it. He says dad is so embarrassed by this now. And he said that he'll bust it out every once in a while and just play it for him just to be like, dude, you did this.
Yeah, Wallach was showing me a picture of Slater being interviewed by Gretchen Zoe. Yeah, Gretchen Zoe. Sorry, it's early in the morning. Zoe and Bertrand.
Yeah, he's happy.
And he is just
very happy.
He is over the moon.
Yeah.
He's the best. It's like there's different types of people at Media Day. Most of them obviously, like, you know, get it. They understand it. And some just tolerate it. Slater, like, embraces it and loves it. I mean, the guy will take any interview. He's in the best mood for every single one.
He wasn't when I talked to him the last time. Because I was like the only one. This is part of the reason I didn't go. It's because I was in front of the podium, and I'm like, "Hey, Slater," and he's like, "Hey," and I'm like, "Hey, you're a big nerd." Anyway,
well, maybe that's why he did it. Like, you know, he went right into an insult.
Yes, doesn't wear that with pride. Maybe that's the problem.
Like, so you're a big nerd.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how you really ease into that.
Sure.
I mean, he knows it.
Yeah. He was great. I mean, he could have been nicer. And Media Day yesterday was, I mean, it was chaos, but it was fun cast. The only thing, though, that was kind of freaky, and I almost wish that I wasn't told this. So it was held at what is basically the Atlanta. It's like it's like the TD Garden here. It was Allstate Arena. Is that what they call it?
State Farm Arena.
Sorry, didn't mean to plug the wrong insurance company.
That's on you.
So the way it was designed was one of the more difficult ways to manage around it. What happened, Fred, is if you imagine like an oval, like it being like the floor of an arena, they put from the long end of one of the ovals, a giant stage that came out towards the middle. So it almost looks like it's a Pac-Man, you know, like a Pac-Man shape, except rounded in the center, which meant that walking around and getting interviews, everyone was crammed. They took up so much space on the floor that all of the players and media people, it was like a Nirvana video. It was so crammed in there. And if you were one of the three players that's in the very front, and like in the case of the Patriots, it was Belichick, Brady, and Gronk, you had no room from the center to the back. I mean, it was just like you just couldn't get in.
So unless you stood there like for like an hour before they went on, you could not talk.
You were not going to talk to one of the main three. And the other thing is when they you know, there's like 12 people are on the podium, and a lot of the rest of the guys walk around. And those people walking around, because there wasn't much space, were just all crammed together. So it was – I looked for Slater for almost the entire hour and couldn't find him until we had about 3 minutes left in the media time. And of course he was completely, you know, he was great, and he couldn't have been nicer, especially even after an hour of doing it. But I mean, it was nuts down there yesterday.
They keep making it worse and worse.
No, I thought last year's was fine. Last year's was like a big long wall where they put them up, and there was plenty of space.
Okay, so maybe this is just, you know, splitting hairs or being spoiled, but they did it, and they said, we're going to do this, and we're going to make it as long as possible before they come out. Because they do it for a crowd that doesn't exist.
Okay, so that's the other thing. No, there's a big crowd. Like,
there was a big crowd?
Believe it or not, a lot of people showed up. I mean, it was nuts. How many? How many thousand? Like 10,000 people showed up.
I'm amazed what people will do.
And there were 7,000 of which were Patriots fans.
Oh, it was great because you should. So the Rams came out first, and what was kind of funny was that, you know, the very first person they introduced, they're like, "Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for your NFC champion Rams," and the crowd, "Woo!" Yay. They said, "First, Jared Goff," and you. Like, the crowd went silent.
You could have heard a pin drop. That's a good point.
Honestly, you could have heard someone fart in there when Jared Goff came walking out. And I was like, this is weird. And poor Jared Goff, like, you know, he's like, what? He just, you know, I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, he just looks so awkward out there. Like, where do I go? Oh, it pushed me in the right direction. And, like, he just completely looked lost. And even as the rest of the Rams started coming out, like, you got, like, you know, a couple of the guys got cheers. Like, you know, people like Tlaib when he came walking out, people liked him. He's kind of the star. Todd Gurley got a lot of applause too, but I mean Jared Goff, it was just Georgia. like a dud when he came out there. And then of course, anytime Tom Brady stepped on that stage, it was like, I mean, people went nuts. They went nuts. Even like the Falcons fans. And the other thing that was kind of weird and different was that, you know, media day, the whole purpose of it is for everyone to get their, you know, audio and talk to these guys. So they're at a podium. Now it's already kind of tough to hear what they're saying and for them to hear what you're saying, because you're like a couple feet away because they have a little bit of a barrier between you and them. So this year, I don't know who decided, but someone at the NFL Network said, we're going to put on a show during media day for the 10,000 people here and broadcast it over the speakers while these guys are answering questions. So every time I went to go talk to someone, like, it just sounded like like the teacher from the Peanuts, because he's like, I don't know, whoever, like Rich Eisen or whoever was yelling over the top.
Yeah.
And it was just weird. Like, it was organized very strange. All that being said, it was a successful evening.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was...
You were able to get in front of one of the people that you wanted to get in front of.
Dude, I was in front of Tlaib's podium with like 25 minutes before they went on.
And then you spent the next hour standing there.
About 45 minutes. Yeah. I spent about 45 minutes in front of Aqib Tlaib.
Yep.
And he's the best. He is the best and will remain the best. And what's always funny, too, and we'll talk a little about this later, was that whenever any of the people were at the podium... Like Deion Sanders will just
come, I know,
he'll come sliding in. It'll be like, "Hey, Tlaib," and you're just like whispering all creepy and stuff.
He
like
does that every year, and you know he's not even using the video.
Okay, do me a favor, Mike, back at the station later on. I want to see if you can find, because when Deion Sanders came in to talk to Aqib Tlaib, so he leans in, and Aqib Tlaib's like having the time of his life. All right, and Deion Sanders, you could tell that Tlaib's a little. Like myth that he's like interrupting him because he was in the middle of something. So Deion Sanders has his NFL Network microphone.
Yeah.
And he like goes, "Hey, Aqib."
And he puts his arm around him?
No, he puts the microphone next to the one. He goes, "Hey, Aqib, would you mind holding my microphone?" And he goes,
"Oh,
you hold it."
Oh, my God.
Aqib goes, "You hold it. I'm not holding that." And he looks like away from like Deion Sanders, if like you just got like a massive disrespect card was just thrown there. Could you hold my microphone? Okay, you hold it.
I've said it every year. Deion Sanders is the worst at that. Because he does it, he's like, "I have total access." And he just like, and he usually puts his arm around someone that's like,
creepy.
And it's like, "Todd Gurley, you doing your thing, man."
Yeah, exactly.
You keep doing your thing. And he says nothing. It's like, "You know, I see you up here and you're doing what you do, man. And I love how you do what you do. Why? How do you do that thing you do?"
You got it. And then he starts going to the song. He starts
singing doo-wop. Yeah.
And he starts to, he's like, "I was in a remake of a Tom Hanks film."
But it was great. I mean, you know, and it was cool. And I'm sure that Zolak and Bertrand, too, will have some interviews during their show, because
got a lot of guys yesterday.
It was great. We had a booth set up there, and all of the like a lot of the players were coming over, and they were talking to them. I mean, it was it's wild. This team has got a cool calmness to them, and I know that it's because a lot of these guys have done it before. But there was a little bit of
no. This year's different. I don't know if you call it unnerving, but I'm not used to seeing them so serene and calm and confident as they are.
Yeah, they're it's different
this year.
They're
it
ready,
is.
And I think a lot of it might have to do with some things we learned yesterday about several players. It's apparently not just Gronk and Brady that you're hearing potential "this might be my last year" type talk. Although Brady shot his down.
Yeah,
there's other players we heard about last night that I had no idea about. So we'll have that, I'm sure, in what happened last night. But there were some interesting, somewhat, not news that was broken, but interesting things that some of those guys said.
All right, we will find out all about that in just a moment.
Dutcher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealer. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
98.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We're on Radio Row at the Georgia World Conference Center for the Super Bowl. And just remember, right around the corner, Patrice Burr's running our show, presenting Pucks and Paddles. It's the second annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. That's Thursday, February 7th at the Royal Boston. Bid. You can get in cheap. Bid doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruin player or playing with them. Rich and I are in it. John Wallach, Mark Bertrand, Scott Zolak. VIP tickets are sold out, but trust me, the general admission tickets are $50. The players want to be there, and they're out in the crowd. They're not up on some stage. For all the information and to buy tickets and to bid on the players, go to 985thesportshub.com. Rich, what happened last evening?
No Kyrie, no problem. Clip.
Napier. His left side. Pinson zips the entry towards Davis, picked off by Horford. Releasing is Jaylen Brown. Horford finds him. Jaylen gets to the cup and lays it in as Napier just runs out of the way. 111-97. Jaylen Brown is just locked in right now.
Well, coming into last night's game, the Brooklyn Nets had the NBA's best record over their last 24 games, winning 19 of them. But with Kyrie out with a strained hip, the C's end Brooklyn's six-game winning streak in their 112-104 win last night. And dare I say, Marcus Smart is a good three-point shooter. Clip.
Couple of threes for Marcus Smart. And he steps into the passing lane in front of Harris, comes up with a steal. Smart gets it back from Rozier. Another three. Got it.
Well, he never saw that basketball. He never saw it defensively and just knocked his hand up in the air and knocked it away, recovered, and comes down and knocks down the trade ball.
Three by Smart, steal by Smart, three by Smart, and the Celtics have their largest lead. Another timeout for Kenny Atkinson.
Marcus the Pistol Smart, previously known as Bricks McGillicuddy. He got the Celtics off to a quick start by shooting 4 of 6 from three-point range in the first half. It's been about 3 weeks since we had that stat that Marcus Smart was actually above average three-point shooter.
This is his year.
And it seems like he's been just as good since then.
This is his year. He's put
I wonder if it was the
year.
First time he's ever practiced.
You might be right. I mean,
it was the first time he ever said, you know what, I'm going to try to shoot threes outside of a game.
If that's the case and it's not just a horseshoe in his butt, then awesome.
It's one of those years. I don't know if he can do it any other year, but this is his year, yes.
We'll see. Well, Al Horford was a monster down low, tying his career high 6 blocks last night, 5 of them in the first half, and it's safe to say that Jaylen Brown has finally arrived. Clip.
Jaylen Brown. Against Creek, baseline extended. He'll go for the jumper and knock another one down. Every time you watch Jaylen Brown make this game look so easy, you wonder why it doesn't happen more. 85-80. 14 points now for Jaylen Brown.
And he ended up with 21. 6 rebounds as well for Jaylen Brown. It seems like he's finally finding his stride. Now, things got close. The Nets drew within one, but the Celtics went on an 18-4 run to close things out, and that was that. However, just a day after an anonymous player on the Warriors.
Draymond Green.
I thought the same thing. I thought
there's
it was,
no way it's not Draymond.
It's got to be Draymond. Although Klay Thompson talks a lot of crap.
No,
too.
No one's in Draymond's universe.
Well, no, because Draymond Green might have done it on the record.
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
Yeah, whereas, Draymond Green, what does he care?
Yeah, that's right. Whereas Klay Thompson, I think, is a little more of a snake in the grass. Well, he said, or whoever this anonymous player for the Warriors would said, Gordon Hayward was a, quote, liability on both ends of the court. And last night, Hayward continued struggling. Clip.
Jaylen Brown drives baseline fairly well. Kick out Hayward. He'll take the three. Air ball. And the rebound for Creek.
Somebody skirts behind the sit him down, Brad.
Russell.
Boy, this is the last time you want to take him out right now. Gordon Hayward.
Bench him, Brad. Is that what he said? Or sit him, Brad?
Take him out.
Take him out. Okay. Well,
Max is talking the truth. I mean,
Max is even saying,
it's not good.
Hayward was one for eight last night. 2 points in 21 minutes. And did you see that dunk that he had at the end? It was almost as if it was a sarcastic applause from the crowd, because now it's in his head. And I think that quote's actually going to hurt as well, because he's admitted that a lot of this has been in his head, and, you know, getting over the struggles of there's going to be a ton of questions as to whether or not they rushed him back and all of this. Just all I know right now is that he's not progressing the way I think we had all hoped he would be at this point.
If they have rushed him back, I mean, his leg is healthy.
No,
what are they supposed to do?
They didn't rush him back.
They're supposed to make a play for the Red Claws.
He came back when he was supposed to come back. He had a preseason.
He kind of worked out the kinks.
I mean, he knew mentally. He knew he wasn't going to play in the playoffs last year, and he knew everything was pointed towards opening night this year. And we got 30 games left in the season. If you are Brad Stevens and you play 8 guys in a playoff series, is Gordon Hayward one of them?
No.
That's the thing.
No, he's not.
I mean, he's not. You can't play him. And the Celtics are in a position now where they got to win games. And we talked about this last week. The schedule is very favorable right now. They got a lot of home games,
and a few road games, none of which are difficult until about Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to win the majority. You losing to Golden State, understand that, but you got to run off a bunch of these right now. You can't play Gordon Hayward 25 or 30 minutes a game.
Well, here's
you
Brad
need wins.
Here's Brad Stevens addressing Hayward's struggles after the win.
I think you're going to just keep playing him, and you know, ultimately, he's going to have some ups and downs, and he's had a couple of games that ball didn't go in as much. But I thought he was active tonight. I thought he did some good things, and when that ball goes in, he'll feel a lot better, and it'll look a lot better on paper. So you know, ultimately, we've got a lot of wings. A lot of the wings played more tonight. And against Golden State, but there's going to be nights where, you know, we're counting on him to close the game because he's really got it rolling.
My favorite opinion yesterday was trade him for Anthony Davis.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
And speaking of that, by the way, the sports reporting world has been a proverbial cluster F since the announcement yesterday that Davis had decided not to sign an extension just days before the NBA trade deadline. First, there was concern that the Celtics were out since they, by rule, can't trade for Anthony until July 1st. Then there were reports that Davis reportedly wasn't high in the Celtics anyway. And according to Yahoo Sports, Kyrie Irving's contract situation is a big reason why. They say, quote, regarding team preferences, Boston is not a top target for Davis, sources say. There is a growing belief of uncertainty that Kyrie Irving will re-sign with Boston, even though he vowed to do so at the beginning of the season. So then there were reports yesterday that the Knicks were apparently looking to make a big move for Davis, which of course feeds into the paranoia that not only would the Celtics lose out on getting their big man, but that Kyrie may do what he told our show he wouldn't do, and that's leave for New York. So all sorts of chaos everywhere. But here is the latest from Adrian Wojnarowski, which seems to make the most sense.
It's because it's true.
Yeah, this is hot off the Woj press, by the way.
Yeah, this is the Wojdometer going to about a 9.
Mm-hmm. He said, it's true that the Lakers are planning on making an aggressive push to acquire Davis prior to the February 7th. Trade deadline because they seem to believe that Davis wants to play for the Lakers and would sign an extension there, according to his sources. However, it sounds like the Pelicans, they're kind of BS with the Lakers right now and have called for a league investigation on any sort of tampering that may have taken place. Did you see that pretty terse statement they
I
came out with?
Yep.
So Wojnarowski also believes that Davis and his agent will make it well known soon to anyone outside of the Lakers that he'll become a rental player to anyone else until 2020 if he doesn't get traded to L.A. However, in that statement I was just mentioning from the Pelicans, they stressed, quote, we will do this on our terms, in our timeline, one that makes the most sense for our team, and it will not be dictated by those outside of our organization. In other words, we probably have no problem sitting on this if it means we may have to deal with a pissed off Anthony Davis in order to get Jason Tatum instead of Lonzo Ball. And Chris Forsberg was on with us yesterday, and he's absolutely right. The Pelicans can't blow this. Like, if you don't have this generational player, you better get something substantial for this guy. And everyone says that with the Lakers, all it is right now is, do you believe that the Pelicans are a smart organization?
We'll find out in about 8 days.
It comes down to that.
But if he says he's not going to re-sign unless he goes to the Lakers.
Let's get to that, because Woj also addressed what we discussed yesterday. Would Danny Ainge be willing to make a mega deal for Davis, knowing that he might take off after 1 year? And the answer, according to Woj, is yes. Even without assurance that Davis would agree to an extension with the Celtics, Danny apparently would be all in. Quote, Boston has been calling New Orleans for the past year plus on Davis and has gathered multiple first-round picks and young players to include in a package for him. Davis has a strong relationship with Irving, and Boston knows that trading for Davis would assuredly perish any possibility of Irving changing his mind and leaving the Celtics in free agency this summer.
Okay, Lakers are in a tough spot. Magic Johnson has promised everyone that he's going to restore the Lakers to glory. They had a chance at Paul George. He didn't really pursue Paul George very much. He just assumed that when George became a free agent, he'd come to L.A. That didn't happen. He re-signed with Oklahoma City. He was very much more aggressive in going after Kawhi Leonard. Didn't happen. San Antonio wouldn't trade with the Lakers because the Lakers don't have nearly the amount of assets that it would take to get a generational player like Kawhi Leonard, who's great at both ends. So Kawhi Leonard's in Toronto, and there are no guarantees he'll come to L.A. So here it is.
They couldn't convince DeMarcus Cousins.
They couldn't convince DeMarcus Cousins to sign there. So here it is. Another chance at a player who might be better than the other, might be better than everybody. And he has 8 days. Magic Johnson has 8 days to make a push. before whatever offer he gives, New Orleans gets dwarfed by what the Celtics can offer. So what do you do? Magic is going to call them in the next couple of days, according to Wojnarowski, going to make a big push. And he should, because the odds of him getting Anthony Davis go down if he does not get him next week.
Wojnarowski makes a great point, too, is the deal that the Lakers are going to be able to offer is still going to be there this summer when the Celtics are there. So it would just up the Lakers' offer anyway. It's like it would just have them bidding against
each
other.
And if the Pelicans wait, they can get anything they want from anyone because the Celtics are going to offer whatever it is, 4 or 5 first-round picks. They'll offer Jason Tatum and whatever other young assets they have. And the Pelicans could go to any other team and say, look, the Celtics have offered me this. Make your best offer to match that. It makes all the sense in the world for them to wait until the summer.
But finally, the greatest headline out of all of this is right now currently sitting on the front page of Yahoo.com, and that is report. Lonzo Ball doesn't want to play for Pelicans and potential Anthony Davis.
Send him! Send him, damn it! I don't care!
Well, if Lonzo doesn't want to go, then you don't have to go. Okay. Lonzo, please. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I think you might have blown the whole Anthony Davis deal.
LeVar's
you
been real your quiet. Own, destiny there.
We can't do quiet. It now. And I will not sign an extension with the Pelicans when my deal is up.
Damn.
I can just picture his father playing trombone in one of those bands going down Bourbon Street.
Right, he's in the, what's that thing called? The New Birth Brass Band. Or whatever it is. Over
the kings of the kings of New Orleans.
That's right.
My son's going to be in a Mardi Gras parade.
All right. So after Wallach, let's get to all the stuff that everyone said at opening night last night. I can't call it media day anymore because it's branded.
Opening night.
There's a TM next to it. Correct. Now, so the NFL wants to make sure you get the name right because it's a big deal to them.
Yeah. Well, obviously they had 10,000 people that were willing to spend $30.
Yeah.
Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the GWCC. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealers. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and you can watch us here as we broadcast from Radio Row at the Super Bowl. We're on Twitch every morning, as a matter of fact. You can visit twitch.tv and search the Sports Hub to watch the show live, or you can get the Twitch app and do the same thing. Search the Sports Hub, and there you go.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching us. East Coast, baby.
Someone said,
Eastern time zone.
Someone said, does Wallach have a coffee date this morning? He doesn't have his regular hoodie on.
I know.
You doing some TV or something?
No,
spiffy?
Here's the thing. When you pack for 5 days and you don't want to check a bag and you jam everything into a carry-on bag, I found that shirts take up less space than hoodies.
He knows Amy Lawrence is coming today.
That's right.
That's why he's got so much cologne on. That's why he's an Old Spice man.
I walked into the men's room last night at the big Media Day celebration, and I walked in, and without even seeing anything, I went, Dan Roach.
Yeah.
And sure enough,
there he is.
There was Dan. I was like, I can smell that cologne from anywhere, Dan. Yep.
Even at 5 in the morning when he fills in here.
Yep. Guess what I'm wearing? I'm wearing the same clothes I wore on the plane because I didn't bring enough clothes.
Well, hey, listen, you know.
I'm quite the expert packer.
If you're gonna
I have
recycle,
enough underwear and enough socks.
Do it at the beginning of the week when there aren't really as many guests, so, you know.
Yeah. That's what I figured.
You know.
And there's supposed to be a... like a company dinner where I suppose you have to wear a button-down shirt. So I'm saving up.
Well, last night, 10,000 people paid $30 to watch a bunch of people talk, and they couldn't hear what they said.
We missed you, Fred.
Yeah. How much audio you get, smartass?
I got nothing. It was his richest show. You were right.
I don't think he's busting your balls. I think it was just like, you know, we know you had stuff to do last night.
No, but that's not.
Really no purpose
to
go.
I've literally never gotten an audio at one of those places.
You have.
I have gotten audio from Ninkovich, which was just talking to him, and he's not a player anymore. And then I did the Blard Blard Flard Mark review.
Yes, you did.
But other than that, I've literally. Wallach and I at the last Super Bowl sat and looked at each other.
You would have lasted 30 seconds.
No, it was claustrophobic.
It was
out there.
The it most was claustrophobic yeah. setup that they've had. It was. But there.
I'm not good at getting in front of this stuff. I've never done it in my career.
No, but I mean, just standing around.
I hide behind
difficult.
A microphone.
Yeah.
Well, standing around was difficult.
However, there were Patriots players and Rams players on display. You got to have an hour to ask them any question you wanted to, and one question that many people are going to want to know the answer to is, hey, Rob Gronkowski, you retire after the season is done? Clip.
Oh, I don't know.
You're not thinking about that right now?
No, I'm thinking of how to get myself to go full go in the game. Just what? Working on that.
Oh, that's not good. In other words, my body is broken. I'll talk about it after the game's over.
That doesn't sound like...
I just want to make sure I can get out there on Sunday, folks.
Yeah,
don't
that
bother
doesn't
me
sound
with
like, thank God there's 2 weeks between games because...
I needed the rest.
I needed to get oiled up a little
bit. Well, he later on said something that was a little more concerning, and that was when he said, you know what, I'll make a decision probably about 2 weeks after the game is done, where I'm able to finally sit back and collect myself. And you're like, well, that says that you are going to make a decision. Like, I mean, this is something that's on your mind.
Yeah, you're
right
on the
now,
fence
there's
at
two
best.
Doors instead of one.
Yeah,
so
easily.
And you get and you're going to you've told us that in 2 weeks you're going to choose which one of those doors you're going to go into. And I think maybe a lot of that has to do with what the Patriots say to him, how his body feels. You know, whether they indicate...
How much money is offered.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If the Patriots go to him and more than likely offer him a pay cut, which it seems like that's going to happen...
Well, I can guarantee you it sucks for him to play football right now. I can guarantee you that it's exceptionally painful for him to play.
I'm sure it is.
So, and if you're talking about it now, and you're like saying that you're going to consider it in that time frame... That to me says you're retired.
Yeah, there were dozens of other ways to answer that question.
Yeah,
and this sucks because there's no one like Gronk. No one has been like Gronk since he's come out. There's been people that we thought was going to be potential, and there hasn't ever been anyone like that before he came here. And if you need proof of that, then just take this moment for Media Day. Clip.
Hey Gronk, how are you, buddy?
Whoa. Got two questions at one time.
I'm sorry.
Man. Now I'm motorboating you. This is crazy.
I'm sorry.
Hold on, everybody. We got live TV here.
Oh, we got live TV.
From you, Gronk.
Wow. Is that Deion again?
Yeah, it is. It sounded like him.
No, that sounds like Michael Irvin.
Oh, that was Irvin?
Yeah, that's
now, was it a Deion Irvin situation? Did they both slide up?
I don't know, but all I know is that of all the people that I thought would know the definition of motorboating, I thought would be Rob Gronkowski. He goes, whoa, there's two questions at once. Now I'm motorboating.
Well, when
you.
You're Gronkowski.
Oh, I guess his head's like going back and forth.
And forth.
Oh, yeah. I see. Oh,
No. When you're Gronkowski, there's always four boobs involved in a motorboat. He's reached a level of celebrity where two boobs are not enough.
Well,
it's got to be something like out of Total Recall.
Dude, that's going to suck. That's going to suck when he's gone. It really is. I mean, there's been.
But it's not like you're not going to see him. I mean, he's going to be everywhere.
But he's probably been in a bunch of commercials and stuff. But I mean,
and then he'll come out in some crap movie that will be fun to make fun of.
You're probably right. Okay, but one player I know we've heard talk about Brady, and Brady said, of course, 0% chance where he did the thing with his hands, 0. And now Gronk is saying that in 2 weeks he'll figure it out. However, one person that I hadn't heard a lot of talk concerning whether or not they're going to retire. Devin McCourty yesterday was asked whether he was going to consider retirement after the game was done, and his answer was interesting. Clip.
I don't know for sure, man, but I do look at it, you know, if we could win this game, win it with my brother, I don't know, you know, what else I could do that'll top that. So I'm just trying to make sure I enjoy this season and enjoy these last couple days with these guys.
Whoa.
Well, they can't afford to lose him.
No.
Well, what's his contract situation?
I'll check it out.
Like, how many years does he have left? Because that's... Is that the first that any of you guys are hearing
that
he might retire?
Yes, and he's a player they can't lose.
No, without a doubt.
I mean, they can lose Gronkowski, but they cannot lose McCourty. I mean, he's far and away their best defensive player.
So I wonder if he was to retire, whether his brother would retire as well.
Yes.
Like they'd retire at the same time and go off into the sunset.
Because
Jason McCourty, you want to talk about a guy that at the beginning of the season, it looked like, oh boy, and then really ended up becoming effective by the end of the
part of the reason that they can play a rookie and part of the reason that they can play Jason McCourty is because of the brother.
Yep, without a doubt.
I mean, he's far and away the best defensive player.
He's got one more year after this one.
I don't think he'd retire.
And I don't think that they would do like any kind of pay cut situation with Devin. He's been great. I mean,
well, they've talked about doing a pay cut.
It's significantly less of a hit if they cut him or he leaves.
And maybe he's saying that
next year
because he doesn't want to get a pay cut. Maybe he's putting that out into the universe like, listen, man, I could just retire, and I know you need me.
But they'd be aware of that anyway. It's not like he'd be saying anything that they don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, but maybe it's just human nature to try to want to get that out into the universe.
Well, I can guarantee you this, is that they're not going to give him a contract extension for any amount of years or any kind of guaranteed money.
He's going to be 32 next year.
Yeah, they're not going to extend him for any kind of money.
Well, that I agree. I mean,
But if you're looking at next year, I mean, they can't afford to lose him.
No. All right. So when we get back, we have some stuff from the Rams, including Mr. Roby Coleman, who was talking a bunch of cats about Tom Brady.
Well, I'll tell you is that Patrick Chung threw his head into the ring at the big rolling rally or the big rally.
He said we're going to kick their ass.
Yes, and that's
bulletin board material.
It's like petting a cat the wrong way. You're going to get their hair all stand up.
Is that what happens?
Well,
trust me.
Okay. Mademoiselle Muff is not happy when you do those kinds of things.
Don't you take Mademoiselle Muff.
It's although she's Senorita Fluff right now, right?
No, it's cold.
Oh, okay.
She's come on.
Fluff.
What's wrong with you?
She has a muff.
Sure.
Did you ever see the Flintstones? I'm too important to be blown up.
Yes.
I have a lot of free time.
I'm just going to say, those of you who don't understand, trust me, that was a good reference. That was pretty good.
Not really.
But, come on.
We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich are live on Radio Row. Toucher at the GWC. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealers. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
98.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and we are at the Radio Row anticipating the Super Bowl here in Atlanta. Everyone's freaking out because it's going to snow, and that's legitimate, but then it's going to get warm, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, they just don't want to be embarrassed on a national stage.
Yeah, I got to do this. This hour of Toucher and Rich is brought to you by AdCare. 1-800-ALCOHOL.
And people have been asking about this ever since we announced we're going to be at Radio Row, so if you are a Patriots fan and you are coming down to Atlanta, we got our big bash going on. That's right. Join us Saturday afternoon. The Sports Hub Super Saturday Party is going to be at Hudson Grill in Midtown Atlanta. Hardy, Big Jim Murray, they're going to be live from 2 to 6. Felger, Maz, Zoe, Beetle, Bob Sosi, and special guest appearances, which probably means Sarge will fly down and shake hands and take over the microphone at some point.
Hey, now, all of a sudden, somebody's eyes just popped open. What?
Hey there. I'll be there in a jiffy. Getting you ready for the big game. Saturday, 2 to 6 at Hudson Grill, Midtown Atlanta location. It is the Sports Hub.
Guess who's here?
Super Saturday Party. It's going to be Mr. James Stewart. We might possibly be there as well.
Yeah.
Well, I have no inside info on that, by the way. Okay, let's... let's get to this real quick. So Mr. Roby Coleman was talking trash, and it was like the big story yesterday. And I don't know who decided who was on the podiums, but Roby Coleman already is someone that I think should have had a podium just because of his involvement in how things ended with New Orleans.
Right.
I mean, this is going to be a person that a ton of people are going to want to talk to. So when he came out, and he was one of the guys that they just released onto the floor, it was just a massive humanity around
there. So he did not have a...
he did not have a podium.
Okay.
So Roby, and there were like guys that like linemen that nobody cares about from the Rams who are sitting up there, and there's nobody in front of them. And here's Roby Coleman just walking around, and he's probably the number one guy that people wanted to talk to yesterday because he's the one dude who started talking trash on Tom Brady. In that article, I believe it was in the Bleacher Report, he said that his age was starting to show, and then he even went so far as to say, I want to stand above him and say, I did this to you, I didn't, and blah, 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 blah. So how about that? Someone finally said something somewhat controversial. So yesterday when Roby Coleman, Mr. Roby Coleman, was asked about it, is it Nickel Roby Coleman?
Yes.
Okay. Just spell. I've never heard
of the name Roby Coleman. Yes.
All right. He was asked about his comments, and he tried to clarify things. Clip.
I was asked a question about when I was in Buffalo. They asked me about how Tom Brady is from then to now. Only thing I said was his age. I said nothing about
that he's too old. I never said that he can't do anything. Only thing I said was his age is the only thing that changed from now to here. And I feel like his skills and his arm is still strong. He's still the GOAT. He's still the legend. That's what I want to get across.
Okay. No, you didn't.
No, he didn't.
Said that. You said
it's not
that,
even. It's 180 degrees from what you said.
No, that's you said not... that he's not as good as he was.
Yes.
You said that he can't throw as well as he did. You said something about his mechanics, even, I think, that his mechanics are off.
I mean,
obviously someone went to him and said,
okay, hey, stupid.
So last night, that was the bullet point from all the players, is they told everybody, I mean, I even asked, like Tlaib about it, you know, at the beginning. But every player said the same thing. You know, Nickel Roby Colbin said a bunch of great things about Tom Brady, too, but they just played the bad stuff. And I'm like, well, the bad stuff's pretty bad. Like, I mean, it doesn't take away the fact that he still said that he was losing it and that he was old and that he wanted to stand over him and he wanted to, you know, say that I was the one that did it. I mean, like, you still said those things. You could have said, you know, like 10 paragraphs worth of glowing stuff, but you still crapped on Tom Brady. But that was somebody in PR, or maybe it was McVay. They sat him down and they said, everyone's going to ask you this. Here's your answer. And it's just not a good answer.
Right.
And I don't think anybody challenged him on that yesterday at Media Day, which was strange. But isn't it kind of sad that was like really the only real controversy there?
And then it got smoothed out.
Did anyone talk to Patrick Chung about how he said they were going to kick their asses?
Because
one of the Rams responded to it.
Did he say
it was Cooks?
I just want to know whether he said it in front of Cooks. Kids. You know, in front Cooks. Of the kids. You know, you can't say asses
right.
in front of the kids.
Oh, yeah,
right.
He did.
Ooh, I don't like that.
I mean, maybe you start the game with a field goal lead for the Rams.
All right. So can I just read you something that I saw a few times yesterday, and this is cracking me up. This is from our website. It is an article by Matt McCarthy. It says, update, Pat Patriot suffered jaw, neck, and back injuries on the Adams hit. So the Patriots are entering the Super Bowl week as healthy as they could possibly be. The same cannot be said for poor Pat Patriot. According to Ian Rappaport, Pat Patriot, or the man inside the Pat Patriot costume, is still in pain after the Jets safety Jamal Adams tackled him in the Pro Bowl event last week. It was initially reported that the man was hospitalized, but the Patriots later clarified that he sought medical attention from on-site personnel after his body slam. Adams initially expressed no remorse for the incident, saying he was not sorry when he was asked about it. And then it goes blah, 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 blah. The best thing about every single article is they insist on calling this person Pat Patriot. Well, like, no one actually uses the guy's name.
Well, no.
Like, you know,
there's
a human being inside of there. He has a name. He's the one who got a concussion or
whatever. Do you remember the threat?
Pat Patriot's a fictional
They're
character.
Not allowed to talk. It ruins the illusion. Of course they can't name him because it's Pat Patriot.
I mean, the headline is Pat Patriot suffers concussion.
Yes, because we used to have the Atlanta Thrasher in.
Yeah.
And he stunk, first of all, because of that dumb costume. And then second of all, because you can't clean him.
Yeah.
And second of all, like, he wouldn't talk off air. Like, he just, like, wouldn't talk. So it would be bastardizing the whole process of Pat Patriot.
The headline is Pat Patriot suffered jaw, neck, and back injury. No, Pat Patriot is not a real person.
Well,
yeah. It's the guy inside of it. He has a name. Why is nobody saying this guy's name?
Because he wants to be referred to as Pat Patriot.
Do you remember when we had Kitar Bear in studio?
I was just going to bring that up.
Would you mind taking the hat off? We want to talk. I can't hear you through the bear hat. And you just the bear head just went left and right.
His hand was like, Kitar Bear does not speak. Remember that?
And I said, I want to talk to the guy in Kitar Bear. I could give a rat's ass about the character Kitar Bear. I want to know what it's like to be Kitar Bear.
Yeah.
You have somewhat of an interesting story.
Well, I don't know how he hurt his jaw, and I don't know anything about that. But Jamal Adams
is a horrible individual.
Jamal Adams also tried in the Pro Bowl, which is pretty funny.
Which is what you want if you're a Jet fan. So.
He, like, laid people out.
Yeah,
where
I
no
told
one else
you.
Was tackling.
No one has a sack in the Pro Bowl except that guy.
All right. There will be no commercials here.
Real quick, after headlines, I have something that could potentially rule that's going to happen on our show.
All
okay.
Right.
So
found out last night.
All right.
All right. We'll have that for you. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.